And how much is this volcano insurance?
I don't know. Let's say $200.
$200? That's more than I spent on all that handsome cream. I don't have that kind of money.
What about that jar of money?
No way. That's Lois's rainy day fund.
Ah, come on. It never rains in Rhode Island?
Well, yeah, but I'm pretty sure we've never had a volcano either.
Well, don't you think we're overdue for one?
Touché, salesman.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host Mike. We're going to say
hi. How's everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we are two dudes who drink and we talk about movies. Now, our two movies that are basically the same this week are, yet again, two more disaster movies. The only thing is, this time it's not the whole world in danger. It's just two little portions of the West Coast, one of which is Los Angeles in Volcano. The other is Dante's Peak in Washington. Yeah, but again, both 1997. Both months away from each other, both with very different budgets, with very different special effects. So we will get into that. But before we do that, we have to talk about what we're drinking. So Mike, what do you got?
All right. So I talked about this a couple weeks ago that I was planning on doing this. So I have Bonesaw's Irish Queen. I reviewed it before. It is an Irish coffee cream ale.
Nice.
Tastes very more flavor focuses on the cream than the coffee. And now I brought back the Black Hog Brewing Irish Cream Stout. Now this one,
there you go,
is more on the coffee side of it, but you definitely have the Irish cream flavor. So I got my Viking cup and I made a black and tan out of them.
Nice. There you go. Always a classic.
Now this is the most no-brainer black and tan I've ever had. They go together so perfectly. Like, this is the first time I, like, actually planned out to have one of my abominations not be an abomination.
You knew this one would be good, so you had to think about it. You had to do it. I was like,
maybe I won't torture myself by mixing beers this time.
Nice. Yeah, and I, on the other hand, didn't have time to go beer shopping. Here's a lot of stuff to get done this week, but so I'm going back to the either slowly almost defunct brewery or soon to be defunct or currently defunct brewery, Flying Fish in Somerdale. Don't know if they're fully out of business yet, but either way, their crisp golden ale, still great from a couple weeks ago when I did it then, 4.6. Really sucks that they had to go out of business, and you know, and Forgotten Boardwalk needs a new home, which hopefully someone will give them because they're great too. But it's not great being some decent South Jersey breweries right now. So I will keep that six pack alive.
The market constriction is tough right now on breweries,
which is ironic because Murphy just paid like went to 2024 January 1st, 2024. Basically, like, freed up a whole bunch of stuff for, like, craft breweries. They don't have to make you take a stupid tour anymore. You can have food. Like, you can have partnerships with food trucks and all that kind of shit. Like, you can actually do things now that the, you know, the handcuffs are off, basically. But landlords still suck, so.
Yeah, they didn't. Like, you're seeing some of the not-as-great breweries go out of business just because it's, like, the market got so saturated so quickly that there's going to be some natural regression. But Forgotten Boardwalk just losing their lease, that just sucks because they're a great brewery.
Awesome. I mean, it's one thing for Devil's Creek and Collingswood to go under who had, like, a decent beer. But if we're honest with ourselves, their beers weren't great. They were not great. And their tasting room always smelled like mold. You know, it was never a good experience, though. Like, it's a cool, nice little place to go get some beer. And it was decent enough, but it wasn't anything where I would go to take to the streets with torches and fight for them, you know? But Forgotten Boardwalk, that was one of the ones, like, look, dickheads. Let them stay, you know, let them sign their lease. It's like, this place is great. Like, do you have a pretty strong following, great outdoor space? It's awesome. But speaking of outdoor spaces and having volcanic ass rain down upon you, we have to discuss Volcano and Dante's Peak. Two movies separated by February to April releases in 1997. So
the year I was born.
Yeah, there you go. It's and one of them, I think it's Volcano, came out 2 days before my birthday in 1997. So lots of personal connections this week. No, it's Dante's Peak that came out on February 7th. April 25th was Volcano. But, okay, so we're going to rewind a little bit. Armageddon was when? That was 1998. So the next year, we do a pair of The World is Going to Die movies, as opposed to just the one street in Los Angeles versus one tiny ass town in Washington. We're now upping the stakes to the entire world. But in this, we do have several, I think, opportunities to really kind of put these two at each other. So, Mike, would you break it down?
All right. So, the first one I really want to talk about is, which movie is not quite as bad at understanding science as the other?
Okay. So which one kind of got it right?
Which one got it? They're both bad at understanding
science. Which one science got it less wrong?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm doing a negative point. I wanna frame it so that it's at least somewhat positive.
I gotcha.
Next, which movie really want to play up the, oh no, I hope the dog doesn't die.
Right. They both had almost identical scenes like that. It was so ridiculous.
Number three, which movie, both movies again have this, the jump, dude dies, doesn't make the jump.
Yep.
So which of those scenes is better?
Okay.
I kind of already touching on this with the science, but the magma works so horrendously differently in both of these movies. Now, I feel like that should just be part of the science, actually.
Yeah, we'll lump that into the science. Yeah.
Naturally, we got to do the main character comparison.
Okay, so with this one, I want to throw in one specific category. We'll talk about our main leads, which are Pierce Brosnan and then Tommy Lee Jones. They can be against each other in their own category. But before that, I want to do a category where it's least or most unbelievable pairing of people. Is it Tommy Lee Jones and Anne Heche, or is it Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton?
All right. So that's, I was kind of thinking, all right, so that can also go into the whole love interest, where I was going to say, which love interest plot is not as bad?
Right. But since Volcano basically makes it out to be like these two are friends at the end, like begrudging work colleagues that kind of think the other one's all right now, they're not like in love, like Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton definitely are at the end of theirs.
Yeah, actually, your framing of it is probably better.
So yeah, I just like the least likely pairing. These two. The more unbelievable, least unbelievable pairing, I guess, if we're trying to be positive about it. Which one is more believable?
Yeah, that's, and then I was trying to think of something where it's like, what is... Something struck me wrong with Tommy Lee Jones going, what's magma?
Yeah, it's, I think we can talk about that in the science one.
Yeah.
Because it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the character that he wouldn't know what magma is.
Oh, I don't know. Which children are more useless?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely useless children. We could also do,
I guess, more... which children are less useless, we'll go.
Okay.
So okay, then we can give useless a point and not take away a point.
Okay. We could also do most hilariously heroic death. And that could either be Grandma in Dante's Peak, or it could be Bus Guy in Volcano, which I think will fall under the jump category as well. So I think
The jump category is the dude that gets taken out when the bridge collapses and him.
So let's combine those two. Let's make those two of the same category.
Okay.
So where do you want to start?
Let's start with the science, because I got some notes.
It is, it's very interesting how these movies handle science.
So it's weird because Volcano gets all the science about volcanoes and magma wrong, where Dante's Peak is a bit more accurate on that front, but gets everything else more wrong.
Yeah, it's with Dante's Peak, and I kind of read into this a little bit because there was an, I think it might have been a note in the Wikipedia entry or whatever. It's kind of an Armageddon NASA situation where NASA shows new potential recruits Armageddon and has them point out everything that's wrong with it. And there's like 150 points to check, like 150 things that are wrong that you have to get or whatever. With Dante's Peak, apparently, it's very similar in the fact that there are some things that they do get right. But there's one specific thing that they do wrong that apparently also happened in real life, which is like the main teaching point of having these jobs. And it's the warning the town about the imminent danger.
Yeah.
Apparently that has become like an actual teaching point in these like schools or studies or whatever. If you go into this job, this is a class you have to take on when to actually declare the emergency or tell people about it because of this movie.
Yeah, that's, oh, one other point that I feel like needs to be in it, but I really only falls to one movie, but I feel like we can't leave it out. Which movie uses a volcanic ash to end racism?
Point Volcano, because oh my, we'll get to it. Oh my god, what a stupid subplot. It's one of those things where you're like, they're not doing this, are they? And then they keep doing it, and you're like, oh my god, they're doing it. They are actually going to save racism with the volcano. We're fixing the LAPD in the 90s with a volcano.
But all right, with the science, so I feel like with Dante's Peak, it's more of like movie issues where it's like, okay, they kind of understand how these things work to an extent, but because movie, it just doesn't quite do that. Like the volcanic dust cloud, like moving towards them, like there's no way they're surviving that. That thing can move
across the cloud,
like,
yeah.
I think it's like 2 kilometers a second that thing can move, and is
it's like an avalanche. Yeah, it's on you before you know it. You know, yeah. It's that's the thing. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely an old piece of shit SUV can outrun essentially one of the fastest environmental dangers ever.
But, and then, like, the way the acid affects the boat, they're like, we're not going to sink, are we? The acid's already in the boat. You should currently be sinking, if we're being honest.
It should be eating away at you, or have eaten away at you.
So that is more write-offable because it's movie.
It's for suspense, and it does give us one of the most hilariously stupid heroic deaths ever. But when it comes to Volcano, the only person in this movie that actually knows what's happening or what's going on is Anne H. And the only thing is, for some reason, he can never actually tell anybody what's happening until after it happens.
The lack of walkie-talkies and radios in that movie is hilarious.
Right, it's great. And even funnier is that Tommy Lee Jones, his job, I'm not even sure what his job is. He is essentially in charge of monitoring earthquake. It's like severity, basically, to see if anything went wrong. I think that's kind of his job. Apparently, as the opening scroll says, it's some dedicated department in LA, which I get it. They have a lot of earthquakes there, so you'd probably need somebody to keep an eye on shit. But for him to not to have that job and not understand what lava or magma are, just he doesn't know what the words mean. He literally asks, what is lava? What is magma? At one point, at two different points.
And that is just ignoring the fundamental fact that boys from the ages of 7 to 11 need to have a specific obsession. Those obsessions can be dinosaurs, they can be cars, they can be like tanks, planes, those types of things, or they can be volcanoes.
The dinosaur kids are learning about the volcano because of, you know, the end of the world and all that shit. So, and every dinosaur poster always has a volcano in the background. So you got to learn about it.
What's magma? I don't know. Did you ever do vinegar and baking powder experiment? That seems to, that science experiment that every third grader ever has done.
Right. Did you not have elementary school? Because it's there.
But, all right, so him not knowing what magma or lava is. B, this movie does not understand the viscosity or surface tension of or density of magma. It seems to believe that it acts much like water or most liquids, where someone will like sink in. No, no, you wouldn't sink into magma. Now, like, I know other movies have gotten this wrong, like Terminator 2 got it wrong, like Terminator would just sink into the magma there.
Well, that's more of a smelting fire. Like, that's a different situation, but it's essentially lava, but it's like molten hot liquid in that movie. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
And it's a robot, not a person. Maybe they're dense enough to just sink in, but like, I guess movies tend to look at lava as like actual liquid where like you fall in, you're splashing around as you burn to death. Not what happens. In fact, the dude that jumped, like, yeah, his legs would have lit on fire immediately, but the magma is probably something you might be able to get a step or two on, which would have at least allowed him to save the guy he was carrying.
The guy he was carrying would be definitely able to live without the like Hulk Hogan body throw, like over the top rope, like fireman throw that he does. This dude that summons like the strength of 10 men to heave this dude forward.
And he's like, half a person when he does it.
Right, he is. But the thing is, they do kind of get it right that when lava does touch shit, it's automatically catching shit on fire. Like, that's how hot that shit is. But Dante's Peak, on the other hand, does like fall victim to that as well, because apparently in that you can drive over lava, and while your tires may catch on fire, you will be able to make it through. I guess we have to keep the movie going.
But then also, where Volcano gets it right that, lava instantly sets things on fire, it gets wrong on every other temperature thing. That ladder would have been too hot to hold on to. Like, their hands would have had 4-degree burns, probably. Just dumping all the water onto it, probably might be the correct move, but that steam is going to melt shit.
Yeah, that steam is going to, because that's what
are standing close by are the shit that is going to melt.
Right, because that's what happens in the beginning with that worker. You know, they think that steam got him when, it probably was, but it was magma steam, you know? It was superheated steam, you know? But, and then, of course, there's the Dante's Peak scene in the hot spring, which apparently is also scientifically inaccurate, because if that were to literally actually happen, the heat change would be so abrupt, it would almost instantly kill these people. They wouldn't have a chance to be like, oh, this is a little toasty. You know, they would be instantly killed. So it's like, okay, flash fry, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think to answer the category here, or the battle, I think Dante's Peak gets it more right, because they have more scientifically accurate things happen than inaccurate things, you know? Whereas Volcano, it's like, yes, magma hot, but other than that, I don't think we got it. We didn't get much else.
Oh, the seventh category, I got it. What's more unnecessary? The racism subplot in Volcano, or Pierce Brosnan's accent in Dante's Peak?
Yeah, it's not great. It is not great. And I mean, even in even in Dante's Peak, there is that stupid subplot of like the town getting some sort of rich donation to to build whatever and increase the bring like 800 some odd jobs to Dante's Peak. But that doesn't really come to anything because while they play it for some sort of drama that, oh no, this guy pulling out is bad, by the end of the movie, the entire town is decimated. So yeah. What would the good of it have been anyway? She would have pulled out his money regardless by the end of the day. She would have been like, well, there's nothing here to build on. I'm going to leave. I will see you guys later. Whoever is left surviving, because the people that are on his side and want to do the politics stuff have died in a plane, have died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah. God, looking at these movies, there isn't as substantial a difference in budget for the effects that is given. Like, there's not enough substantial of a difference for the quality of effects.
Yeah, it's weird.
Dante's
though, because
Peak at 116 million estimated. Volcano at 90 million estimated.
Okay. Well, Volcano, Dante's Peak actually then put it to good use because their effects actually look, you know, it looks a lot better. Whereas the stuff that some of the stuff that goes on in Volcano, you can tell that it is the 90s equivalent of the green screen. Like they must have like green dots on the ground. Like this is where your lava is going to be. This is where you run away from, you know, but it does not look good.
How much of that budget went to Tommy Lee Jones?
I mean, this is post Fugitive, and Under Siege, so it had to have been a good amount, you know. So he definitely got a good amount, you know, because they didn't pay for anybody else in that movie. Don Cheadle's a nobody at the time, and Anne Heche is Anne Heche, you know. He's not commanding Tommy Lee Jones money.
And Keith David hardly gets any screen time.
But he gets the most important screen time when our little white boy notices that everyone looks the same when they're covered in ash. So racism solved. All you have to do is cover everyone in volcanic
everyone
ash.
Everyone just needs to accidentally be in blackface.
Just have to make it really an uncomfortable minstrel show, and then everyone's good, you know? The racist cop no longer hates black guys, you know? It's an easy way to fix racism. I'm not sure why we didn't think of it sooner. So the point from Science goes to Dante's Peak.
Yes.
Now, which I think we should move on to, because of the science, we should move on to most hilariously stupid death, aka the jump deaths as well. Because in Dante's Peak, the front runner is at least, because there's two. There's the front runner is grandma jumping out of into the sulfuric acid to pull the boat to the dock. And then instead of jumping on the dock and running off the dock that doesn't sink for another couple minutes, she proceeds to keep wading through the river as long as possible to eventually die on the coast, on the shore. Then there's Paul, who dies in a truck that he can't get out of.
Yeah, well, he doesn't seem to be trying that hard to get out of. No.
He's absolutely doing the, oh no, I can't, I'm stuck, oh no.
Well, no, he tries to drive the truck off first.
Right. That is right, that's what he does.
He tries to drive the truck off the bridge that is not attached to the rest of the road and is not close enough to the rest of the road to, you know, do anything more than just tip over the edge anyway.
Not even like a little bit either. It's not even like, oh, this was tense. No, he's like good 10, 15 feet away. He's not, there's no way he could have made it regardless.
Yeah.
But then in Volcano.
And it's all the people yelling, jump, you gotta jump. And you get the same exact scene, but with magma and a bus.
It's Stan and, I'm thinking in Volcano, I'm talking about Stan's death. When he gets out of the subway car with the dude
That's
on
what
his
I mean,
shoulders.
Subway.
The subway car and gets out of the dude on his shoulders. Because there is a tipped over bus in Volcano as well, which is apparently supposed to stop the lava. Okay, science.
Oh yeah, we didn't even bring up that their plan to stop the lava was concrete barriers and the tipped over bus.
Two-four-may cul-de-sac is what he calls it. But then Stan character, played by John Carroll Lynch, he fireman's carries a knocked out subway car conductor through the subway that's burning. Like magma is flowing under it and he's burning. He gets to the end. Magma is now in the path of his jumping, his landing spot for when he jumps. His team is peering him on, like, jump, jump, jump. What he does is heroically sacrifices himself by jumping into the magma, still with the guy on his shoulders, letting his legs burn down to their knees, roughly. And then he, like, bench press, like military presses this guy into their arms, like 10 feet away. I'm not entirely sure how he does it, but he does.
That's, oh my god, it's so dumb. Like, he like melts in the magma, like the Wicked Witch of the West melts when she gets hit by water.
The thing is, though, that's the thing. John Carroll Lynch is a large man. He's a large man. So him doing what he does in movie land makes sense. Grandma, on the other hand, in Dante's Peak, is a not feeble old woman, but she's not exactly a spry old woman. She's just a granny that likes to be outdoors. And she, for some reason, thinks that her old lady body can make it through about 50 to 60 feet of sulfuric acid and be just fine. I honestly don't know who's dumber. I really don't.
Yeah. I'm going to, so if we're giving the point to the better death, like the less dumb death, I'm going to give it to Volcano just because, like, the scene itself is dumb, but it's like he's conscious, he knows he's going to die.
Yeah, he does. And he makes the choice to be like, okay, I'm going to save this man's life. That's what I'm going to do. And whereas even if you combine the two deaths in Dante's Peak, you combine Paul and Granny, there isn't a combined smart decision here.
No.
Not even two wrongs make a right situation. These are just two dumbs make a dumber, you know? But so yeah, I think we got to give this one to Volcano. It has to go to Volcano.
All right, next. But
I think this one,
we go to the dogs.
I was going to say, we jump into the dog. That's what we got to do. We got to jump into the unnecessary dog in peril, which in Dante's Peak is the dog, Granny's dog, Ruffy, who somehow finds his way onto a rock in the middle of a lava flow. And then there's the random dog in Volcano that just can't seem to find the dog door, but is penned in on all sides by fire. Except the clear path through the dog door that goes outside to safety.
You know what? That, I don't know if Dante's Inferno cares that. They start off with Volcano, I mean. Tommy Lee Jones, like, telling his dog to eat the eggs while a scalding hot pan is on it.
Right. There's a lot of weird dog stuff going on in these movies, but I think for the dumbest or least tension-filled moment of a dog might die, I feel like I got to give it, it's got to go to Dante's Peak, because that dog comes out of nowhere and then easily jumps into the back of a pickup truck. Dog in Volcano, I legitimately thought they might kill. Like, I was like, oh, this dog might actually die. And it turns around and sees the dog door. And I was like, oh, okay. That's monumentally stupid, but okay.
Yeah. Fuck, so like now I'm trying to figure out who gets the point for it. Like, are we rewarding the real stupidity, or are we...
I guess, yeah, it comes down to what we want to give the award to. Do we want to reward stupidity or dumbassness, like just danger for danger's sake, or do we want to actually put it into... give it to the movie that actually puts a dog in peril and then kind of pulls the rug out from underneath the audience by showing you that, oh, this dog could have just walked, like, run out. You
know? This dog is just stupid.
Right, this dog's just dumb. I feel like I want to give it to Volcano because I think someone actually put a little more effort into it. Whereas Dante's Peak, they were like, let's make the dog in trouble. Oh, let's just have it jump into a truck. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So Volcano's up 2-1, incredibly, somehow.
Somehow. All right, what else we got?
All right, kids. Which kids are less useless?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Volcano in this one because Gabby Hoffman, Tommy Lee Jones' daughter, she's a kind of a brat at first and kind of a 13. Now, granted, she's a 15-year-old playing a 13-year-old, so there's at least the appropriate age is reached here for Gabby Hoffman. She's supposed to be like a whiny little brat kind of, but then she actually has to help people when she's paired up with the doctor briefly. And then she has to keep and basically babysit our little white savior boy. And then she actually has to save this kid's life almost. But in Dante's,
I'm saying we're including the little sister and the brother. We have to include the little white savior boy in uselessness right. level of kids.
He's very useless, but he does point out that racism can be the cure for racism. So at least he's wise enough to see that.
Now, I think we're failing to consider the fact that Tommy Lee Jones's daughter in this movie has the line where he says, I'm lava. What beats lava? And she says, my dad.
It's a bad one. That is a clunker of a line. That
almost qualifies her from winning in my book.
Say, that's supposed to be the stand up and cheer moment, but it's the definite groan moment. But in Dante's Peak, though, we have two children who purposely steal a car, who drive into the danger, who go after their shit ass grandma, and then do nothing past that point. That's it. They do nothing. So I would say in the grand scheme of uselessness, it's got to be the Dante's Peak kids. Because at least in Volcano, somewhere along the way, the kid is either babysitting or pointing out the cure for racism. So at least we get something out of these children.
But did you consider that maybe the kids from Dante's Peak were part Floridian when they stole the car and tried to drive out of Volcano?
I mean, they could have been. It's a very interesting scene because I'm not even entirely sure it makes sense for them to steal the car. They just somehow end up in it.
Well, I really hate that Volcano is leading in a landslide right now.
Yeah, oddly enough. But why don't we pause and talk about where our beers are?
No, all right. It's the best black and tan I've ever made, probably, because I actually picked out beers that go together.
Nice.
So this Bone Saw Black Hog Brewing, certified seal of approval. If you guys choose to collaborate, my consultation fee is about... I'll take 5% off the top of sales.
There you go. Yeah, my brewery, formerly known as Flying Fish, is Crisp Golden Ale. Very good. Too bad no one will ever drink it again. But all right. What are we on to now?
All right. So, love interest.
Okay. So, are we doing separate love interests, separate unbelievable characters, separate heroes, right?
So we'll do love interest, the actual scenario, and then the heroes.
Okay. So we have, in this case, we have Linda Hamilton versus Anne Heche.
Linda Hamilton wins in a landslide in my book.
It's Linda Hamilton simply because, A, she's given an important job in the town. She's the mayor. She's also apparently she runs the general store as well, which is also the cafe and the diner. She is also actually given a potential love story with Pierce Brosnan's character. Whereas Anne Heche is a mysterious scientist who can't tell you what she finds until after it happens. She for some reason, has to fight with Tommy Lee Jones, even though he's not fighting her.
And she's apparently no one could figure out that there was a volcano underneath LA until this point.
Which is funny, because they mentioned the La Brea Tar Pits and plate tectonics. And I'm pretty sure if you go to the La Brea Tar Pits, I think a volcano is mentioned in the little blurb on the, like, the plaque that's there. I think they mention a volcano being underneath, underneath the La Brea Tar Pits. But there is no reason to live in LA, to have a job in disaster response in LA, and not know about lava or magma. So for her to kind of step on the scene as the quote unquote expert, it's really stupid. Because then they don't even have the balls to try to pair her up romantically with Tommy Lee Jones. Probably
allude to it initially, I feel like, and then right. They're like, wait, that might be gross.
Yeah, right. It's like they allude to it, and then they realize who the actors are in the scenes in the movies that they're looking at. They're looking at Tommy Lee Jones, who has never not looked 75 with an 8-pack-a-day habit. And Anne Heche in 1997, looking about as good as she's ever looked in her life. And she looks like a young Anne Heche. So it's definitely a May-December romance at best. It's a laughable cash grab for a will at worst, you know?
So Linda Hamilton, yeah, better character, has an important job in the town, not just the damsel in distress. So yeah, that point goes to Dante's Peak, so it's 2-3. And then the actual scenario, yeah, it's gonna be like Pierce, like who's least likely? Like Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton make more sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. Because not only are they age appropriate basically for each other, they're in a scenario that requires them to be together, requires him to put the effort out into caring for her kids. She goes to dinner.
It's kind of like the Speed, where what's the quote at the end of Speed, where
romance is a start in disaster, yeah. Like that start in disaster situations that like succeed or whatever it is. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like, see, he goes to dinner beforehand before all the shit goes down. Like they actually do take a chance to build on it. Whereas Volcano, you're right. I think someone like saw it, was like, wait a minute. Did we write a love story between these two? If we did, we got to get rid of it. There's no way we can do this.
Yeah, we can't go through with it.
We'd have a better chance of a love intro, a love story between Anne Heche and the scientist ladies who's her coworker.
Yeah.
Dying. Like they would have had a better chance of just, and after that happens, being like, oh yeah, that was my girlfriend. So it's like, well, my girlfriend died too. But of course it was the 90s, so you couldn't do that, even though Anne Heche, I think at the time, was pretending to be a lesbian for fame. Like I think that's when she was dating Ellen briefly.
So the only thing that makes the Pierce Brosnan thing like less believable is the fact that is it his wife at the start that dies by getting hit in the head with volcanic rock?
That's the thing. I kind of want to give a bonus point to Dante's Peak for killing that woman the way that they do. That scene in the beginning of the movie is just to show how dangerous, I guess, quote-unquote, his job can be. But it plays no role in anything later. It doesn't discredit him or anything.
It just shows
like
you
that
no matter where you are, don't be around Pierce Brosnan because the volcano exactly. Is probably after him.
Right. It's like, it's not like he leaves the job because of that loss. No, he's still doing the job. He's just got a black and white picture of her, which I'm sure was changed after her death from a color one. But to kill this random ass woman with a volcanic like rock bullet through the roof of the truck into her head is kind of great, because they spent the money on the blood squib, the makeups, and they actually gave her like a death scene,
which was kind of hilarious, because they get hit by like the front of their car gets crushed, Which probably should have initiated the airbags.
And well, not on that truck. That truck doesn't have airbags. That's like a 1974 POS.
But it should have done some damage to them. And the fact that they kind of just kept driving, oh, so these two have plot armor. Then immediately, Volcano JFKs her.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the beginning of Armageddon, where Michael Bay takes the time to just decimate New York. No,
yeah,
just takes the time to decimate New York with these like lava bullets that are coming down with those comet rocks. But in this one, it's like, I mean, I really kind of want to give them like a bonus point just because they had the balls to just completely kill a useless character or kill a character you think is supposed to be important and then completely forget about her.
Yep.
Just completely forgot about her. But
all right, so that ties it up. So yet again, it comes down to our hero. And you know what? Despite hating the accent, I feel like it can't possibly go to Tommy Lee Jones because he has to ask the question, what's lava?
Yeah. I can see that argument. I can recognize it. But still, it's Tommy Lee Jones in 1997. The man does nothing. He does nothing impressive in the movie. And yet somehow I want to see him on screen. And I want to see him doing his Tommy Lee Jones thing, you know?
But all of his plans are so dumb.
They're not great, but you gotta figure he's only used to earthquakes. He's used to earthquakes and maybe a mudslide or two in LA.
He didn't even know lava was a thing until the start of this movie.
So to not know what he's dealing with, learn about it really quickly, and then come up with that little cul-de-sac and the redirect, I don't know. I feel like I gotta give it
that
to him.
Cul-de-sac is a horrible plan.
Well, I mean, he thinks on his feet, and it works in the world of the movie. Meanwhile, Pierce Brosnan, on the other hand, gets his ass, like, crushed in a truck in a mine in a rock collapse, and only by chance happens to hit the homing beacon that eventually saves their life, even though I'm pretty sure that rock collapse would have cut off the oxygen to the rest of the cave and would have killed them. Even though they get saved 2 days later. No, I think they're pulling corpses out at that point.
I just cannot. I overlooked it, the horrible line for the daughter. I can't do that twice in one podcast.
I think, all right, so I think to decide it and to give it, this will push it to Dante's Peak. The fact that Tommy Lee Jones is our main character, has nothing to do with either pointing out that the racist LAPD cop is racist. He has nothing to do with fixing that racism if he saw it. He has nothing to do with the little kid at the end that sees that everyone's identical, covered in ash. Tommy Lee Jones really only cares about his daughter the whole time, and his daughter is 13 years old and should be able to be alone by herself.
Yeah.
Even in a disaster situation, yes, it's heightened extenuating circumstances here, but he should be confident enough that she is old enough to know fire bad, volcano bad, stay at Cedars-Sinai Hospital with the doctors.
We can neither confirm nor deny her knowledge of the existence of lava prior to the movie.
But still, she should know Dr. Good and stay with Doctor. But it's Tommy Lee Jones doesn't have enough to do with everything that I can fully give it to him. Whereas Pierce Brosnan is involved with everything that's going on. Like he is the titular heroic lead of our movie. So yeah, I could give it to him, and his actions at the end do save our heroes, whereas Tommy Lee Jones just pushes his daughter and the little white savior kid out of the way. That's all he really does.
Apparently Tommy Lee Jones has the speed of Edward Cullen, run faster than a building collapsing to knock her
yeah, he was, he,
his
he
daughter
was,
and the little kid
He was starting running back for the Chargers that year, you know, or whatever, you know, or the Raiders or whoever was in LA at the time, you know. Like, but oh yeah, he moves. Tommy Lee Jones can move, you know. If his daughter's about to be crushed by a falling building, he can move. But we also didn't mention, now this is a subcategory, but we don't even need to give a point to it. It's just a really dumb plot that doesn't really go any, doesn't have the comeuppance that it deserves. And it's the plot with our doctor and John Corbett's character, Norman.
Yeah.
Our lead doctor, what I'm going to get the actress's name right, because she's actually pretty good. It's going to take me too long to dig through. Oh, here we go. Jacqueline Kim. She and John Corbett's character are either, I think, married. She's obviously a doctor. She's saving the world because in the 90s, if you were a doctor in a disaster movie, you were a god among men. And you're out to save the planet. Whereas John Corbett's character is a real estate developer who has bought this building, this high-rise building that he just wants to make a penthouse for them. And he's like a greedy real estate developer. It's his building that Tommy Lee Jones drops on LA to redirect the lava. But the thing is, at one point in this movie, our doctor hero, Dr. Jay, Dr. Calder, she is actively saving lives as a first responder. She is treating wounded. She's treating people that are burned and all that. She is doing her job in a war zone, essentially. He shows up at one point, goes up to her and says, "So, babe, you done or what?" She's like, "What are you talking about? I'm a doctor." He said, "Babe, you don't even know these people. You got to get out of here. We got to go." You know, it's like, why is this guy for absolutely no reason? And then at the end, we drop his building on LA and we don't even get a shot of him going, "Wait, is that my building?" We don't even get that. We don't even get this dude like driving away in his Benz, trying to just like with a hooker or something like that, cheating on his wife. We don't even get the, "Oh, this jerk lost the only thing that he actually cares about." We don't even get that. But that's the only thing that I would really do to tip everything into Dante's Peak's favor, because Volcano does have the dumber subplots.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And the ones that don't pan out. Of course, I'm of course not downplaying the effects of a volcano in solving racism. That cannot be understated. It's our number one fight against the races.
You know, if they just didn't give Pierce Brosnan an accent, I feel like this could have been a runaway for Dante's Peak.
That's the thing. The question is, why does he need to be American? Like, why doesn't he have an accent? Because the war zone, or like the volcano that's exploding in the beginning, is a foreign country. Like, he can very easily be British volcanologist Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. He doesn't need to be American Johnny or whatever he is, you know? It's pretty great that, like, why? It's Pierce Brosnan. Everyone loves the dude's voice. He's got an amazing, sexy British voice. Let the man do that, you know? Let him cook, you know? But, I mean, because on the other hand, Tommy Lee Jones gets to be Tommy Lee Jones, you know? He gets to be Tommy Lee Jones. He doesn't get to be full-on fugitive or under siege Tommy Lee Jones, but he gets to be Tommy Lee Jones. And it's really, like, unless it really absolutely calls for it, just let your British actors be British, you know? There's no need to hide the accent. Like, I'm looking at you, Scottish Gerard Butler, playing American Mike Bannon in Olympus Has Fallen, and trying your best to fight the North Koreans and your accent.
It's crazy that Tommy Lee Jones was in this not quite piece of crap, but almost, and Men in Black in the same year.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think Batman Forever might be this year as well. I think that was a pretty popular 1997 for the young man. What? Hold on. Where was it? I just had it. 1995. I apologize, Tommy. That was the movie before Volcano that he did. But, oh, man. It's a sad day in Volcano movies when an accented Pierce Brosnan can barely squeak away with a victory.
Yeah, this was the closest one yet. And really, that's mostly because of the categories we picked, because in my opinion, Dante's Peak was like a tier above Volcano in terms of actual movie.
It's an actual movie, whereas Volcano I kind of enjoyed more simply for the performances. Like, there's a lot more
Yeah.
personalities in Volcano, and it's more of a 90s movie, whereas Dante's Peak is kind of like, it's like the sleepy Washington town version of an LA movie,
Yeah.
It's that's the thing. We get a 90s grimy LA movie in Volcano, and then we get the sleepy Washington town of Dante's Peak. So it was weird because Dante's Peak, I will acknowledge, is yes, the better movie, but I don't know. I had more fun, I guess, watching Volcano because to its credit, Dante's Peak's opening scene aside, it gets to the volcano pretty quickly. Whereas Dante's
Yeah.
Peak takes a while to actually get to the disasters and all that. I mean, they do ice his girlfriend or wife in the beginning, but after that, not much is going on. But all right, so Dante's Peak takes it. Now, Mike, before you introduce what we're doing next week, because we're going to take a brief week off to acknowledge a couple films. So, Mike, where can people find us on the internet?
All right, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Happy Hour Films Podcast. Go like and subscribe to our shit.
Yeah. So, next week we're going to pause. We're going to do.
I feel like I just combined I can Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, anywhere else you get your podcast from, and Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Go like and subscribe to our shit.
If you don't know where to find us, stop listening. No, I'm sorry. Keep listening. We need everybody we can get. But we're gonna pause our normally scheduled movies and basically the same schedule to do a special week, and Mike's gonna lead us into that.
All right, so it is still kind of movies that are basically the same, but a legend. So I'm a huge anime fan. I had Ross make Ross watch anime week, and a very legendary mangaka passed away recently. Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball. Now that man is in the manga anime world, he's like Stan Lee. Like, he is as legendary as you get. So I wanted to take a week to kind of honor him. So we are going to be looking at 1993's Dragon Ball Z Broly, the Legendary Super Saiyan, and 2018's Dragon Ball Super Broly. Now, not exactly the same, but you have the same character in there that's like the main focus. But yeah, I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z fan, so I wanted to take a week to really kind of honor Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, and this will be my first time dealing, experiencing any Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I know to look at it, I go, "Oh, that's Dragon Ball Z." Like, I know what it looks like, but I know literally nothing about any of the show. I know nothing about the movies or anything like that. So I know nothing about this stuff. I'm going to be watching these for the first time with my eyes, which might be interesting. Who knows? But Mike's going to be, this is definitely going to be a Mike pick for the week because I'm going in
I
cold.
feel
I
like
don't
you
know what's
might
going
like
on.
the movies because a lot of it is just mindless fighting with not a ton of talking going on while the fighting is happening, so.
All right. And that's usually my hang up with animes. It's the delivery of the dialogue. Usually it's what gets me. I'm like, oh man, come on. So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see what this is all about. So until next week when we pay tribute to the creator of Dragon Ball Z, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McQuiggan.
I'll see you guys next time. So long.